So I've been a little bit under the weather this week and asked the Lord what we're going to do. I'm going to do a lesson that I've done a couple times before. It never comes out the same way, so there's always something new. It's called Total Provision of the Cross. And there's a few different aspects of salvation that I struggled with for quite a while because I couldn't reconcile them together. In the Word, and we'll go to these verses later, but in the Word it talks about, you know, Jesus talks about being born again, you know, born again into the kingdom. And then later down in like Romans and then also in Ephesians, he talks about being adopted as sons, you know. And then in Corinthians, there's a lot of times he talks about, well, you're purchased with a price, right? And for the longest time, I couldn't like, Lord, how do we reconcile those? Because I know those are all provisions you made through the cross, but being born as a son and being adopted as a son is very, very different. And then being purchased, bought, is something very different. You don't buy a kid. Well, I hope not. But it's very different. You know, it's kind of like, well, like I was telling Melissa earlier, it's kind of like he's writing over a check for me, like, here you go. I'll take that one. So it can be very confusing. And I want to put this kind of disclaimer out there real quick, especially for as we're delving deeper into the Word. You know, the Word is not just like linear, it's deep. You know, you can go so many layers into the Word. And I want to put this disclaimer in, and I think Arthur mentioned on it last week, is you can't take the Word for granted, okay? You cannot sit there and just read on like a just kind of like a top layer of the Word and expect that's everything there is to it. There is a spiritual dimension to this that we have to be cognizant of it, or else we'll miss what the Holy Spirit really has for us in the Word, okay? And this just takes some time, and there takes some time to kind of develop in your own life, but it also takes like patience. As well, one of the things I realized, like when I was first in my first year of Bible college, was I wanted everything. I was drinking from the fire hose as much as possible, but I realized I was getting a lot of information, but not any understanding. Right? And what I realized is because I was not allowing the teacher to be the teacher. So there may be a few questions you have in the Word. There may be some things that you've seen in the Word that you can't reconcile yourself. At the moment, there may be some things in the Word that looks contradictory to the nature of God, even. What I'm trying to say is, God never changes, but your understanding can.
Yes, right.
Okay? Like, this hung me up for a long period of time, but I did not compromise the nature of God because of it.
Right?
Right? Because if you look at this thing, somebody could sit there and say, well, we're purchased with a price. Well, you know, how you relate to someone is going to determine your relationship with that person. So if I see myself purchased by God, and that's all I preach on, what do you think kind of relationship we're going to have? Slavery. Right? So I could have got hung up on that for a long period of time if I didn't know who God is. Personified in Jesus Christ. That he's a God of love. Right? Actually, go with me to John 5, because I want to show you this, because I want to show you an example of this real quick, because this isn't necessarily my message, but I think it's very important for us to understand that there may be questions in your heart and questions that you've been asking the Lord that you haven't been able to reconcile, and my answer to you is, he doesn't change, just wait.
Amen.
Just wait.
Amen.
Okay? Because he'll provide when it's ready for him to provide for you those answers. Okay? Go with me to John 5. And this is in verse 28, 27 through 29. And this one, like, we even looked it up in other translations, and in every translation, it's like, oh, man, this will really mess you up. And it's 5:27 says, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also. This is talking about Jesus. He's been given authority because why? He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and then they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. How do you figure that one out? We're not supposed to be doing, right? Our salvation isn't depending on what we do, right? It's supposed to be dependent on what he's done. But look what Jesus said. How do you get around that? That's pretty clear cut. There's no real gray area there. He says, if you've done good, you go to heaven. If you've done evil, you go to hell. That's what he's saying. And not only that, but he's the one who decides.
Yeah.
He's the judger. Now, on the surface, that may look like, man, I don't know how to figure this out. And so what do we normally do? We sweep it under the rug. We try to figure, oh, well, that's just one verse. We're just going to like put it over here, you know. And it is dangerous to make a doctrine on one verse. I agree with that. But it's some things we try to ignore rather than letting Holy Spirit take us deeper. You see, Holy Spirit took me deeper on this verse. And you know what that means? The word for do, like mean done, is two different words there. The first word do, that means it says done good, literally is a word called poeo. The second word that means done evil is called praso. Praso, what that means is it's literally like acting. It's literally like doing something in a physical action over and over again, right? Poeo literally means like an action that comes from within. It's like this. Praso is something you do, like you take out the garbage or you do this. It's just something you do. Poeo is like an artist who's painting a picture and pours out their heart into the canvas. In other words, poeo is about who, whereas praso is about how. In other words, he's saying those who know who they are and done good through the nature of who they're being through the transformation of Jesus Christ, those who have done through being a manifestation of Jesus Christ, those who become one with him, that's life. And those who try to do it any other way, not going to work. You see the difference? I'm just illuminating a thing that it's like, don't take anything in the word for granted. If I'd done that, I would never be able to do this lesson. So we'll get to it. But I just wanted to give you a picture of that to show you that it's like any time that you have a problem or a hiccup in the word that the enemy tries to throw you away, just rest in him and wait. He's going to provide. All right. Everybody got that? All right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. All right, so born again, adopted, and purchased. Three things that are really, really different from one another, yet all considered provisions of the cross that Jesus did for us. Well, everybody's read Andrew's book, right? Spirit, Soul, and Body, right? As everyone who has not written that, all familiar with it? One of his greatest revelations, right? From 1 Thessalonians 5:23, preserve your spirit, soul, and body. And he's saying that we're three-part beings. We're a spirit, we're a soul. Spirit is what? The image of God itself, right? The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. And then the body is, of course, the flesh. Okay? Are we getting that? All right. So what the Lord was showing me, because if you go to, let's go to John 3. And let's look at this first thing about being born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. All right. And Jesus Anderson said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. All right. What I'm trying to say is what I found out and what God showed me, and I'm going to get to you why this is important in just a second, because I don't want you just, I mean, I feel like we're just kind of playing around in my revelation here. But you're born again in your spirit, right? You're perfectly born again in your spirit. So if you're born again in your spirit, where does adoption happen? In your soul, right? And then what's purchased? Your body. Now, why would you purchase your body? Because you ain't taking it with you. He had to buy it because he can't redeem it. You understand what I'm saying? Let's go to Romans 8 real fast, verse 7, and I'll show you what Paul says about the body. And this is Romans 8, and we'll start in verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in flesh cannot please God. In other words, he's saying anything in your body, there's no way that could have a real good, can never really have a relationship with God. Your body cannot have a relationship with God, period. So anything you try to do in the flesh to please God, this isn't going to work because there's no connection. There's no relationship, right? It's kind of like if you look at, you remember the parable about the treasure in the field? What did the guy have to do? He had to buy the whole field to get to the treasure, which is inside of you. Had to buy the body, right? So I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but let's go through these things kind of one at a time. Let's start with the Spirit, born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? That we are no longer, all things have passed away, behold, all things have become brand new. We are a new creation in Him. We are a new creation on the inside of us. And our spirit is perfect in the image of God. It is made completely in His image. I feel like we have to, in our spirit, we have to start adopting this sort of mentality of recognizing that who we are in the inside is exactly like Him, and it's unchangeable because of Him. That's our spirit. In fact, let's go to Ephesians 1:13 real fast. And I'm going to have you flipping because this is kind of a new thing, and I want to get some verses to kind of back it up. Ephesians chapter 1. What's that? Ephesians chapter 1. I think that's after Galatians, pretty sure. And this is what I wanted to show you. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you understand what that means? It means you were stamped by Holy Ghost to say, you're His. Your spirit is so like Him. He stamped it and said, you're His. It's a stamp that can't be removed. It's sealed. It's like sealing a letter and putting a stamp to say, that's mine, and you seal, and that seal can't be broken. That is the power of being born again by the Spirit. Now, you can give that away, but there's nothing the enemy can take that from you. He cannot get past the seal of the Holy Spirit on you. Why do you think in the last days they're going to have a mark? It's the devil's counterfeit to the very seal that God's placed on you for eternity. There's a seal that's unbreakable, and it's you. The nature of who you are in the inside, your spirit, has been born again just like Him. In Ephesians, this is I have a lot of favorite verses, but Ephesians 4:24 says it like this. Because he's talking about putting on the new man, which is the spirit, which after God, this is 4:24, which after God is created in what? In righteousness. And he goes on to say true holiness. He didn't just leave it at holiness. He said true holiness, the real thing. Not an act of holiness, not trying to be holy. The complete definition of nature of holiness is who you are on the inside. Are we getting this? You've got to understand the strength of what it means to be born again in Him. Paul, actually, go with me to Acts real quick, and I'm sorry we're turning a lot, because I love how Paul adopts this attitude, and I think it's an attitude we need to adopt as well. And this is Acts chapter 22. And verse 27. Because this talks when Paul was like, you know, they had captured him, and they're about to scourge him, they're about to beat him. He told him, I said, you know, you're not supposed to do that to a Roman citizen. Can you really do that to Roman citizens without, like, due process? And he says, then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And Paul said, yeah, I'm a Roman. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Back in that day, there was, even though you paid for your citizenship, there was like a, still a, kind of like a kind of a racism towards it. You had to pay for it, right? You were lesser than the other citizens, right? Because you had to pay for it. But Paul said, I was freeborn. And the centurion after that got really scared. Because here was a man who didn't just pay for his son. Because he was kind of asking him, well, I paid for mine. How did you get yours? He was kind of like hinting at it. He said, no, I was freeborn. He didn't have to pay a thing. He was born into that. He's born into that inheritance. There's not one thing he could have done. He was born into it because of who birthed him and what they did. Do you get it? This is the attitude we have to adopt. Guys, we're not paying some huge sum to be born again. We were born into it because of him. I know there's kind of a little bit of a cockiness to that, but man, that's all right to me. Okay? Because I can go around saying, you know what? I didn't have to do anything for this. I was born this way. I was born a son to the king. I was born righteous and holy. That's how I was born. I didn't have to pay anything. I feel sorry for those who try to pay for it. He's taken it all for us and then birthed us into a new thing, which is him. Right? Amen. All right. So we get that? All right, let's move on. So in our spirit, which is all the time witnessing to us with the Holy Spirit of who we are all the time, all right, has to get through this thing called the brain, the mind, right? Our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. So go with me to Galatians real quick. Go with me to Ephesians, I apologize. And this is chapter 1. I want to talk about this for just a second here. And this is verse 5. Let's back up one verse to 4, because I could read this whole chapter, so just bear with me. It's so good. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto what? The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, which is the Trinity of God itself. So that's the adoption that we're talking about. So my question is, why does he use that term adoption? Right? I've heard so many stories about it. Well, because he chooses you, and that's very true. That's a very, very good. That's a very good reason. You think about it. While we were yet sinners, he still chose us. While we were the dirtiest orphans in the world, he still looked at you and said, "I want that one." Right? When we were at our worst possible state, without anything, he's like, "That's the one for me," and adopted us. Right? But then in Romans, it talks about how he sent the spirit of adoption. We no longer fear, right? Romans 8, we no longer fear, but we receive the spirit of what? Of adoption into our hearts. Right? I think this is a good analogy right here. Let's go to Galatians 4. Because I think this is a really good way of explaining it. And you guys good? Everyone's good? Okay. Galatians 4:1 says, "Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father." I think the reason why he chooses adoption is because you've been taken out of one place that's just really vile and terrible, and you've been placed into a new thing, translated from the spirit of darkness into the spirit of light. And here's the rub. Unfortunately, we've been living so long in that darkness, we've got to learn what it means to live in the light now. You take a kid off the street who's been living on the streets for many years, and now you put him into a palace, he's not going to know what to do right away. It's going to be kind of uncomfortable. Right? What's a bath? What's fine clothes look like? Do we feel comfortable in this robe? I kind of still see sometimes myself as the person on the street. But I'm learning what it means to be a son. Do we get this?
Yes.
So sometimes I think we get hicked up because we are that perfect thing in the spirit, but we're not recognizing that we've got to learn and walk in newness of life, and so we begin to learn how to walk out adoption of sonship. That this isn't something that's just going to come, all right? It's going to be something that we have to walk out with Holy Spirit as He's witnessing us and He's showing us truth. Because we've been adopted from one place that we never belonged into the family that we were predestined to be in. And we've lived in that place so long that it's so much has tried to overcome us in that place that we're learning what it means to become powerful in Him. We learn what it means to start gaining authority. We learn what it means to be son of a king rather than a peasant in the streets. What a transfer of identity. It would be foolish for us to think that we could walk it out alone without guidance or help coming from the place we've been. That's why it's adoption. It's not shameful to say to Holy Spirit, I don't know. It's not shameful for Holy Spirit to say, I'm not there. Because you've been living on the streets your whole life. And now we got to learn what it means to live in with the King. Right? And He's always guiding us. He's always providing for us. He's always witnessing for us. Holy Spirit's always witnessing for us. Go with me to that verse real quick. We talked about Romans 8. Verse 15. And I want you to see exactly what the scripture says about this. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Then what does it say? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Does He bear witness with your flesh or your spirit? Your flesh is not going to realize this. You got one or the other to agree with. You've been living your whole life by the flesh, on the streets, and got us very far. Or we live by the Spirit now that we've been born again into that and the adoption of our hearts crying, Abba, saying, that's who I really am. And He's bearing witness with us as well to that same thing and teaching us how to become the Son of God that we were always predestined to be, made into His image. That's powerful to me. Because it also gives me grace to understand that I don't have to have everything figured out just yet. Right? That sometimes it still creeps up sometimes that it's like my old, you know, street life still sometimes creeps up in me, you know? Because I'm used to, there's a situation I haven't dealt with yet in the spirit, and it's still that carnality still comes up every once in a while. But then I know all of a sudden it's the Holy Spirit saying, no, that's not who you are. You're son of a king. That's not you anymore. You've been adopted into this family. You're not orphaned anymore. This is who you are. Sometimes I think we have to give ourselves a break and let Holy Spirit work. Right? And realize that we've gone from one place to the other. But by God, we're in that new place. And we're learning what it is. And it's the Holy Spirit, guys, who's bearing witness. This isn't like just a meek little thing. This is Holy Ghost who's on your side bearing witness to the truth. You've got everything you possibly could need to understand, learn the truth of who you really are in Christ. So much more. I think it's a little bit overkill. But he's stacked it so much into our favor so we know without a shadow of a doubt that we're his. I mean, that's why he's done this. He knew that he wasn't just going to have to become born again. He knew that he was going to have to adopt us, he was going to have to purchase us, so he could make every provision of you, so he could definitely have you. He left nothing out. He made every provision of the cross just for you to make sure it was impossible for you to escape him. Oh, by the flesh, sure, I'll purchase it. I'll buy it. Not only that, I won't just buy it, I'll come and live in it. Yeah. That worn down flesh that we look at and be like, I really can't wait to get to heaven. Right? It says that. It's like we groan inwardly, man, I just can't wait for this. Right? He said, that's okay, I'll come live in it. The temple, guys, you even understand the Solomon's temple was not what he sought after? He says that wasn't what he was looking for. Do you know how much money it took to build that thing? Do you know that all the precious stones and the beauty of that thing? It's been unparalleled ever since.
He wanted out of there.
Yeah, he wanted out. That's just not enough for me. That's not good enough for me. But then he took our dirty, filthy flesh and said, that's the temple for me. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. That's why Paul is so flabbergasted in Corinthians. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's why he's so flabbergasted in these verses. He's like, you're not getting it. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, in you or not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's like, you're not getting it. He was so wanting you that he took up residence inside of you, purchased you so that he could come inside of you and live inside of you, right, and fill you with the Holy Spirit. An unperfect thing, an unredeemable thing. He took up residence in a place he should not have taken up residence. The God of all holiness and righteousness took up residence in a place that should not have been his home. And that's what he did. Because of you and because of me. Because he was not going to let anything to chance to let you get away from him. He said, I will make it everything provision possible so that we can be one together forever. That's why as Christians, we need to think death a little bit differently. Because death is just simply shedding this to gain that. That's it. My daughter, she talked with me a long time ago. She talks like this. She just says, you leave your dirt behind. That's it. It's just going to heaven. It's just literally a transfer of location, leaving excess baggage left behind. That's all it is. But not only that, in Romans 8, he also understood that it's like you were going to need help in this thing. Romans 8 says what? It says that if you know that the spirit that resides in you is the same one that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, what will it do? It will quicken your mortal flesh. He knew you were going to need help with that. That's why he purchased it. He purchased it too. When he purchased your body, he purchased your health too. Right? I was just ill for the last few days. I actually don't have the right to be sick anymore. Because my body's not my own. And every time you're sick, you're actually probably like a little selfishness involved. Trust me, I was feeling pretty selfish. But it's not my own. And if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will quicken me, then man, why am I not living in that place? Why am I not there? I think maybe it's because I haven't given this to him completely. I haven't let him be, say, this is your temple, and let him be the one to take care of it and give it all over to him. And then realize that I don't walk by my flesh anymore. I walk by adoption of sonship. Because then all of a sudden, I give myself over to abiding in him and let Holy Spirit show me who I really am. And then everything's born out of that. Everything. And that's such, this isn't wishful thinking. We're born again in him. It's a guarantee. It's stamped with his Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee. So it's not wishful thinking. It says that in Romans 5. You know, we're not hoping for so, hope's not going to disappoint us, guys. It says, be joyful in your tribulations. Hope's not going to disappoint you. Why? Because Holy Spirit's pouring out his love in your heart. Because he's already taken up residence inside of you. And he's proven it by the cross where he made every provision for you. This isn't like fanciful thinking. This is the most truthful thing you'll ever hear. You're born again in your spirit, and we have to start acting and walking like we really are. And learning what it means to be a son of the Most High God. And we do that by walking with him and not walking with flesh. Go with me to, 2 Corinthians 10. Because what I realized in my life was, this began to show me how to fight. Because if I kept fighting with my flesh, I was going to lose, because that had no connection to God. It's just a residence for him. He purchased it for a reason, but we're one with him inside. Right? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How do we do it? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where are we walking? What's our battle? How are we fighting? Is it we fighting with this, our flesh? Or are we fighting with this, where we're adopted by sonship? And he's showing you, let me show you how to be a son. How are we fighting? Sometimes when we're sick, it feels like you're fighting against the flesh. Absolutely. The times when I was feeling the best was when I put worship music on and I would focus on him. Yeah. And Lord knows, I mean, I'm better today. I'm great. Mm-hmm. Lord knows what would happen if I hadn't done those things. Mm-hmm. The enemy so wants us to become carnally minded because he knows there's only death there. Right. He wants us to be focused on that thing and say, that's your identity and that's who you are. And Jesus said, you don't understand. I bought that so that I could get to the real treasure. And I've made you something brand new. And I want you to learn what that really is so that you can walk it out in truth. And walk it out, and I give you the life you've always wanted and you were made for. And that comes by walking in the Spirit. That comes by being with him and taking witness of the Spirit and not the flesh anymore, guys. You know, the flesh includes all of that junk out there. It includes what other people say about you. It includes what your circumstances say about you, right? It includes all of that stuff. And we were starting to agree with that rather than what God's done for us and made provision for us, then we're going to lose. We're going to be defeated. And the enemy's going to take captive some of the things we don't want him to take captive in our lives. It's a real thing. And we could focus on that all the time, but what I'm starting to focus on is maybe if I just be with Jesus, right? And let him show me every day who I really am on the inside and show me and teach me how to be the son of a king, I can walk that out. Instead of learning from the world, let's start learning from him and stay in that place. That's what abiding is all about. I used to tell people all the time, it's like, you know, it talks about like, you know, building your house on the sand and building your house on the rock, which is the foundation, right, of Jesus Christ. But I don't understand people who won't stay in the house when the storm comes. What's the point of building your house on the rock if you ain't staying in the house? It doesn't make any sense. You got to stay in the house. Stay in that place with him that he's invited us to. That's how we walk it out. That's how we live it. And we make no provision for the flesh. You know, the flesh was, you know, sin was condemned in the flesh. Through Jesus Christ. I'm tempted to just read through Romans 8 just to make you figure that out. Because he's saying you are free from the spirit of sin and death and alive into the spirit of life, right? That's what we're alive to. They say, don't you get it? He's like, those who you yield yourself to, that's what you're a slave to. So don't keep yielding yourself to the flesh. Your flesh will do what it's told when it recognizes who you are in the spirit. Because when you're walking in the spirit, you don't fulfill anything of the flesh. That's what it says in Galatians 5, right? This is a real thing. He's like saying, no, it's not trying to do better. It's like not even going there. It's staying here. It's like, forget all that stuff. You're not even part of that system anymore of sin and repentance and sin and doing this and the law. And like Paul says in 7, what does he say? I don't know what I'm going to do. I do this. I'm not supposed to. And then I want to do this, but I don't do that. And like, who's going to save me from this? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right, Jesus. So then I serve God with my mind, but I serve sin with my body. And then he goes on to say in the next chapter, right next to it, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Spirit, because we've been made free from the law of sin and death. Amen. You're free from that law. You're free from the law of sin and death to walk in the Spirit. Guys, there's grace to do all of these things. If it was not capable, Jesus would not have paid for it. He would not have done what he did. He made every provision to make sure this was not only something that is real, but so empowered and capable of doing this. This is not something that we, for people who are in a pulpit, trust me, we get it messed up a lot, or someone who's got great revelation. This is made for the broken. It's made for the contrite. That's what it's made for. It's made for those who are just willing to say, I don't know. It's made for the ones who want to humble themselves and say, it's all about you. I just yield. Yeah. Yeah. That's who it's made for. Yeah. It's not made for the ones who try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Jesus has a word for those people. He calls them stupid. I'm not saying we shouldn't get understanding, but any understanding outside of the Spirit is stupid. Yeah. Right? Because anything that's in the world is foolishness. The gospel is the truth. And that's where we reside. So that's why, I think we're about, let's see what we got here. We have time for this. So that's why I feel like that was kind of like my revelation today. I want you guys to understand this. Every single provision of the cross was made for you. You've been born again in your spirit. Completely perfect, man. Completely perfect. Your flesh was purchased with a price because it's not redeemable. So don't put any stock in it anymore. You're going to get rid of it. Why would you put your whole trust in something that's going to get thrown away? Kind of doesn't make any sense, does it? I got a really old car out there. I don't put a lot of faith in it. It's pretty old. I feel like it's ready to die, okay? I want something eternal. You know, then I'll put my trust in that. But I'm not going to put my trust in something that's not eternal, something that's not going to last. Something that I know is not going to get me to God because it can't have any, it's enmity with God. Why would I want to do anything that's going to keep me from him or that has nothing that I can do that has relationship with him? That's the flesh. Nothing. There's nothing. But when I walk in adoption, when I begin, like Romans 12 says, I begin to renew my mind according to truth. When I renew my mind on truth, I'm being transformed into that truth. It's all about up here. It's about learning your adoption and what that means. It's all about learning how adoption works with you in Jesus Christ. It's all about saying it's okay to know that you came from a place that was really bad, but that's not who you are anymore. And you've got to learn that that's not you anymore. And you transfer that information to who you really are. And it's a discovery of truth in your life. And every day we discover a little bit more of who we are because we're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we look into that image, what? We're being transformed in the very same image by Holy Spirit. Because he's the only reliable witness of who we really are. The world sure isn't. You aren't. Even Jesus said he couldn't witness for himself. You can't be your own witness, guys. And I really don't want the world to be my witness. Lord, have mercy. But I have Holy Spirit who witnesses my inside of me, who's showing me the truth of who I am every single day. If I'm just willing to stop and listen and drown out the voices of every other witness in my life, and let him show me how much I was adopted into this family, and I still have some things to learn, but by God, he's showing me truth, and it transformed me into a son of a king. That's adoption. That's what we're talking about. I think I'm done. I think we have time. There was a little bitty video about it that I was going to show because it really